Bronies forever. Woo!
Okay, starting up in 3, 2, 1. And I didn't even make it the first sentence. I was about to launch into a Nerd of the Third Power intro.
Yeah, you were. I could tell.
Okay. All right. Trying again. All right. In 3, 2, 1.
Bronies forever. Woo!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Last Exit to Ponyville, your one-stop shop for all things pony-related, I guess. Yes. As you can tell, Mike Dodd is not here today. His equipment has decided to become possessed by Satan and turn on him. So it's just me here, along with our third co-host here, Skyblaze, who is joining us for the first time this episode. So, Skyblaze, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. Just got home from an evening of role-playing.
Yes. Skyblaze was actually picked up as the permanent third host for the show, along with me. But she wasn't here for the last episode that we recorded. So this episode is going to be all about her and getting to know her and how she got into the fandom. She's actually an old hand at working with me. We do Nerd to the Third Power together over on That Guy with the Glasses. So when Birdman called me up and said, you know, hey, we need a third wheel, I just thought, Skyblaze, let's bring her along.
Yay!
So, all right, so let's just start by introducing you to the listeners here, Skyblaze. So who are you, where do you come from, and how did you get into My Little Pony fandom?
Well, I'm Skyblaze, aka Blazing Skies, although my real name's Becky. I am a massive geek, as those who listen to the Power will be fully aware. I am a child of the 80s, old enough to actually remember the original My Little Pony, although I only watched it a little bit. How I got into My Little Pony Friendship is Magic fandom. Basically, all of my role-playing friends were all watching it, and I mean all of them, to the point where every time I would meet them all at a party or post-role-playing thing, this would be all they would talk about. And it was like, I just want to understand this conversation. I want to know what the hell you are all talking about. I thought, I'll just watch it just so I can understand the vaguest part of what you're speaking about. And then I discovered I really enjoyed it. Watched the first episode and went, that was really good. What the hell?
And then 6 hours later, you realized that it was sundown, past sundown, and you'd forgotten to eat.
Mostly, yeah.
Okay, all right. So of course, you have to ask the obvious question: who do you believe is best pony?
My actual favorite pony is Luna, because she's amazing. I liked her as soon as she showed up, even as Nightmare Moon, because it's like, ooh, wow, swirly, purpley, blue mane. That's cool. And then when she showed up again in, the Halloween episode, whose name I've temporarily forgotten.
Nightmare Night.
The Nightmare Night episode.
No, Luna Eclipsed.
That's right. I was like, I just entirely fell in love with her. The incredibly accurate, high style, old fashioned speech, which I know was accurate because some of that is actually still used in my native dialect of English. Broad Yorkshire still uses things like thee and thy. So I was like, this is all right. Nobody gets this right. And a show for like 10-year-old, 10 and younger girls is getting this right? What the hell is this? And so I entirely fell in love with her. She was just like, she was glorious. This is the Royal Canterlot voice. Wow, you're amazing.
Yes, Luna. Luna definitely needs more love in the show.
Although, she needs to show up more.
Well, I don't know if you've read the comics at all, but she's shown up several times in the comics, and she's had a couple of stories devoted to her.
I've only read a couple of the comics so far, so I need to get through to actually reading those.
You need
they're
to read.
They're on the list.
you need to read her Spotlight issue, which is basically she makes a bet with Princess Celestia as to who has the harder job. So Celestia goes, okay, fuck you. You can rule the day for the day. I'm going to the spa.
That sounds amazing.
It is. It's incredible. Okay, so this is off the record here. Did you manage to see Equestria Girls?
The new one? No, I haven't.
No. Okay. All right. Damn. All right.
I can't find a decent torrent of it, no matter how hard I bloody try. I've tried several sites and I can't find a decent torrent of it.
All right.
Not one that's watchable anyway, without a fucking camera in somebody's seat bobbing around.
Well, then it looks like we might have to wait until the Blu-ray comes out, because Dad didn't get to go see it either.
Shit.
All right. All right. Well, so yeah, Mike, just edit that whole conversation out then. Okay. All right. So back on track. Okay, so I guess now, as this is a question that I sort of have, because I wasn't into My Little Pony growing up, because well, the obvious, but as someone who's old enough to remember and has had some exposure to all the previous generations of My Little Pony, here's a question I want to ask, just as for comparison: why do you think Friendship is Magic has been so widely accepted, whereas the previous versions were almost like, you know, a pop culture footnote?
I only remember bits about the original series, because I haven't seen it literally since the 80s.
And there's been generous amounts of alcohol between now and then.
There indeed has. But what I do remember was it was quite saccharine. It was, you know, none of the threats in inverted commas seemed all that threatening. The only one that has actually stuck in my brain as actually being genuinely threatening was one where the ponies had their shadows stolen, and it was like they turned in. It was treated like they'd had their soul stolen, like they'd just been made soulless, and that was quite kind of, whoa, what the hell? But I don't remember much else about it, because none of it stuck in my head. I do remember there being a human character in it who wore dungarees for some reason. But at any time you stick a human character in a show like this, it's like, I don't care. Just give me the thing that I'm here for, guys. But I just remember it being kind of very sweet and cutesy and really brightly coloured.
Sounds almost like it was just flat.
It was, in a lot of ways. There was very little to choose between the characters as well. They didn't seem to have personalities that stood out. I honestly, to this day, I can't remember any of their names or personalities. And I actually had some of the ponies as figures. But the only one I can vaguely remember was Wind Whistler. And that's purely because she was one of the ones I had. And I'm sure that I'm going to get like a load of G1 fans kind of beating down my door now. I do remember Spike as well. Spike actually had a personality. But and the girl sort of did. What was her fucking name? Began with M. Ah, that's going to bug me.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't seem to have personalities. And it was just like there was nothing to kind of identify with. And I think that's kind of the... Part of the reason why I ended up getting into it was I was at a friend got into Friendship is Magic as I was at a friend's house, and I was mentioning kind of my frustration with entering in all these conversations where they were like, I couldn't understand a single word because it was all about My Little Pony. And my friend showed me the episode about the Pinky Sense, where Twilight's trying to understand how this works. And I was like, oh my God, it's me.
When she got up on the soapbox.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, entirely that bit where she was, like, having this kind of rant and on the soapbox and going, like, no, I must understand this. And it was incredible. I was just, like, instantly kind of got the character and understood her and identified with her. And there was nothing like that in the original show that I remember that struck me. The people I do know who remained fans of it and remained fans of the figures and stuff were the people who made up their own stories about them. So, and that, apparently that was what Lauren Faust did. She made up her own stories with the figures and gave them their own personalities. And that's what a lot of the personalities in the new show are based on.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think that's why.
So now, sort of as a Brony, or do you prefer Pegasister? I've worked with you for 3 years, but I've never had the occasion to ask that question.
I don't mind. I quite like the term Pegasister because it just trips off the tongue.
Okay, all right. So as a Pegasister, who's, you know, and being introduced to the listeners for the first time here. So what are just sort of your general thoughts on the Brony fandom?
The ones I've come across have been really nice. As is the ones I've come across in real life have been really nice. I have never got very deeply into kind of any of the message boards or anything like that, because I've just got too many fandoms. If I tried, then I would be pulled in like 15 different directions. it would be a nightmare. But the ones I've come across in real life have been really lovely and really quite gentle people who seem to actually genuinely get the message that the show is trying to say, trying to tell you, which I appreciate. I've heard that there have been some who are scary as hell and really don't get it, but I've not come across any of them.
And frankly, you can find those kind of people anywhere.
Yeah, they're in every fandom. But most of the ones I've come across have been really lovely people.
You dig hard enough, you'll find it. So
yeah.
But that's one of the goals of the show in the between season hiatus here is to sort of take a look at the fandom and sort of shout out the things that we enjoy and promote some things that we, you know, particularly enjoy from the fandom. And one of the big things in any fandom is fanfic. And we're introducing a new segment this episode, Gonzo's Fanfiction Spotlight. Bit of background, I get bored very easily, so I go trolling for fanfic. And I decided it would be cool to talk about some fics that I found that are especially good and give a shout-out to the authors and recommend them to people to read and enjoy for themselves. So we're going to just jump right into that. This week's fanfic, to kick us off, in honor of the recent start of Doctor Who Series 8, which we're also all big Whovians here, we are highlighting Loyal to Luna's Doctor Who's The Series. This is actually, as its name implies, it is a series of fanfics, actually, but we're examining specifically the first one, The Pinky Conundrum, which details what happens when the Doctor first arrives in Equestria and meets with the main six and starts to get to know them, most especially his interactions with that eternal conundrum and problem of physics and relativity, Pinkie Pie. So, excuse me, getting kind of tongue-tied here. So the story basically, the story picks off actually as a continuation of another fanfic, Squeak Anon's The Traveler, which he sadly never finished, and I really hope he does because I've read what he has of that, and it was a really riveting arc. But it picks up where The Traveler left off. The Doctor and Twilight Sparkle have restored Equestria to peace, and now the Doctor's just trying to get a handle on how things are in Equestria, and I feel like I should point this out. He's regenerating to a pony in this form. This is supposedly where the Time Turner character came from. So he's just regenerating into a pony, and he's very confused about a lot of things of Equestrian culture. And it's not even things like, you know, like what's your system of government? You know, how do you get your food from your farms and all that? But stuff like how do you pick stuff up with hooves, or how is Pinkie Pie able to fit so much stuff in her gaping maw? And actually, there's a scene that I really enjoy where He the doctor figures out that he can't just provoke Pinky into bending the laws of physics. He has to catch her at a time where she just does it, and he actually manages it, and he pries her mouth open so he can take a look inside and figure out why she's bigger on the inside. So, Skyblaze, you've read this. What were your thoughts on this this fanfic?
I thought it was fucking hilarious for the most part. I mean, that scene with Pinkie Pie where he's like, "What in the actual hell?" was so funny. And the scene that really struck me as well was the one where he's like realizes that he needs the power of friendship to power the TARDIS now, and he's like, "Oh, not really, fucking really." And it's like, "Oh, well, this is apparently the most potent power source in this universe," and it's like, "Oh, really, really."
And then the TARDIS hands him a sonic screwdriver that he can actually use, and it's like, "All right, fine, keep bribing me. We'll stay."
Yeah, feel free to keep bribing me. That's all fine as far as I'm concerned.
Something else that I really like about Loyal to Luna's writing, and it really shines through in this fic especially, she's able to balance the silly with the serious and really have some touching moments as well. Like the scene where the doctor takes Pinkie Pie on a tour through the TARDIS, and they find what I like to call the Room of Memory. And it's got pictures of all of the Doctor's previous companions and statues of his previous incarnations. And, you know, Pinkie Pie asks, you know, the irritating question, the berserk button question, "Why are you so sad?" And he launches into this rant about how he's the last of his kind. And Pinkie Pie manages to talk him down from that and convince him, like, you know, "Yeah, you've had some bad stuff happen to you. But, I mean, look at all the people whose lives you've touched. You know, these are just your closest friends. There must be people out there that, you know, you can't even recall who you've affected in some positive way." And it turns out that this whole time this is happening, Twilight Sparkle, who has been just beating down on the Doctor verbally and emotionally, is listening in on this and realizing that there's more to this wild and crazy stallion than she initially realized, which I thought was really beautifully done.
Yeah, that scene was really glorious.
So, there's also, another thing I really like is it doesn't feel like one... Like, this is obviously a crossover between Doctor Who and My Little Pony, but it doesn't feel like so many crossover fics where one really sort of overpowers the other. It really is a really equal mix of Doctor Who and My Little Pony, so it really does feel like... You know, all the elements of the Doctor Who continuity that introduce are introduced in such a way that they still mesh with the Friendship as Magic universe. And, you know, there's not a whole lot. Everything has its time in the spotlight. There's times where it feels like a My Little Pony fic, and there are times where it feels like a Doctor Who story. And they kind of bleed into each other really well and mesh, I feel, really well. There's a really even mix. Yeah, I wish I could talk today, but I can't pull it off. So, but now, this is just my own, you know, layman's observation. So, Skyblaze, as someone who actually writes fanfic, what did you think of the composition of this story?
It had moments where it did kind of stumble a bit, and some of it did occasionally feel a bit clunky. Some of the stuff where it's relating back to the events in the prequel fic, as it were, felt like they were a bit kind of pushed in there, and it was like rushing through this. It's like, why would they have reason to think this other than to remind the reader that this stuff happened? So that felt a little bit awkward, but for the most part it was very good. It was also surprising that, as you say, Doctor Who has a very specific tone, and one of the things that Doctor Who does do well is that it does kind of flit from very serious to very stupid and back again without destroying the suspension of disbelief. It's a very, very difficult skill for authors to get their hands to get their heads around. And a lot of even professional writers fuck it up. I've seen actual published works that have not handled it very well, on the grounds that even good authors have bad days. But it seemed to work here, the kind of switch in tone was pretty smooth. Again, it occasionally kind of stutters a bit, but it's nothing that would collapse the suspension of disbelief.
Okay, so what was your favorite moment from this story?
As I say, I really like the moment when he realizes that the TARDIS is powered by friendship. That was fucking hilarious. I did like that thing where he's having that big rant at Pinkie Pie and she's just like, have a hug. I laughed my ass off when the TARDIS was like, here, have the screwdriver. Fine, you can keep bribing me. That's fine.
Well, as I mentioned, this is actually a series of fics. There are, as I recall, there's three completed stories, including this one. And then there's a fourth episode that Loyal to Luna has been working on for about a year now. It's not finished yet, but I'm hoping that, you know, maybe if I kick a few extra readers her way by doing this, that she'll finish it. So, Loyal, if you're listening, please, 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 I want more. Especially because the story she's writing now focuses on Rarity, who is my best pony. So I'm just like, yes, the Doctor and Rarity. I want more of this. So, there, like I said, there's three completed fics right now, with a fourth in the works, and each story focuses on the Doctor taking, just a couple of the main six out on an adventure, because as he says in this story, he can't keep track of six mares at one time. He just does not have that skill. Brain the size of a planet can't keep track of six girls.
When they're the main six, you can entirely understand why.
So, the first story focuses on Rainbow Dash, Applejack, and Twilight Sparkle going back to the Equestrian Renaissance to visit Leonard de Hoovesy, who is this universe's version of Leonardo da Vinci. The second one I would almost describe as The Lion King Gone to Hell, focusing on Fluttershy, who, poor thing, gets put through the ringer in this story. And then the fourth story, as I said, is a Rarity story. Rarity gets fed up with her fashion business for a while and wants to go off someplace exotic. So the Doctor takes her to a civilization that I feel like is kind of modeled after ancient China. I don't know. That's just kind of the vibe I get. But they're all really good fics. Like I said, it's Doctor Who's The Series by Loyal to Luna. That's Loyal number 2 Luna. And you can find it on FIMFiction.com. So, yeah. And, yeah, so, Skyblaze, as someone who's written fanfic, have you been exposed to a lot? Have you read a lot of My Little Pony fanfic in your day?
I've read a fair bit, yeah.
Okay. Were there any particular standouts that you've come across?
Yeah, actually. There's a fic that was actually written by a friend of mine, a RL friend of mine, called Alex. Oh, I forgot what the name he uses online. I'll just find it. Bear with me a sec. But it's called Fixing Up Miss Smarty Pants. And it does have a TV Tropes page. And it is funny. It's so funny. And it's one of those... Arkansas Pinkerton is the name he uses online. And again, you can find it on FIM Fiction. And the plot... It's a romance fic, but it's a really funny one. And the plot is that Big Macintosh has got a bit of a crush on Twilight. It's set after is it Lesson Zero, the one where Twilight goes nuts? Yep. Uses the once
the
it
episode where
spell.
Twilight goes nuts doesn't really narrow it down very
it's
well.
It's the one where she uses the once it needed spell on the doll.
Yeah.
And he takes it and wants to get Rarity to fix it up so he can take it back and use it as a conversation starter. But then everything starts going wrong and people get the wrong idea and people say the wrong thing and put their foot in the mouth or hoof in the mouth. And it just becomes this massive comedy of errors. It's really, really funny and really quite cute. There is a sequel, which is a hell of a lot darker and more angsty. But Fixing with Smarter Pants is really, really funny and really cleverly written. The other one I'd recommend is called Book of Days. Let's see who that's by. It's incomplete, which makes me sad face. But it's by Warren Hutch, and it's about, it's set just after the time period that's depicted in Heartwarming Eve. That kind of pre-Celestian period, and it's all about the origins and early lives of Celestia and Luna. And it is adorable! You have seriously no idea. Baby Celestia is the cutest thing in the history of the world.
I may have to check this.
Seriously, it's like she gets introduced to food for the first time because she's literally just been born as a young filly. And she gets given food, and some of it's fruit, and she has some, and she's like, this expression on her face of, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. And she can only barely talk. And she kind of looks at the person who's looking after her as if to say, what is this? And they say, it's a blackberry. And she goes, blackberry. You're so adorable!
What's this called? I'm going to have to check it out.
Book of Days.
Book of Days. Okay.
Yes, it's on FIM Fiction.
All right. I'll have to go check that out. Okay. So since this is a new segment, I'm still kind of getting a feel for how we're going to be doing this. What are just for my own reconnaissance, what are some tropes that you especially like in pony fiction? What are some that you especially don't like? So I can specifically find those fixed just to annoy you.
I'm not too fond of the kind of let's take this wonderful magical thing full of hope and happiness and turn it into this brutal, horrible, grimdark thing. It's like, oh God, why? So you take something that has this wonderful, hopeful message and you just entirely destroy it. Thank you so much.
Okay, so I'll fall out of Equestria then.
Yuck, no. I appreciate that it's entirely possible that it's very well written and it's very clever and so on and so forth, but it's just not my thing because there's so much stuff out there that is so bleak and so dark, and it's just not what I want from Friendships of Magic fiction, you know? I want something that's even if there are dark elements in it, I want there to be hope at the light at the end of the tunnel, and you know, the all the angst and the pain and the horror is going to be solved eventually, like it is in the show. There have been very dark moments in the show, but they've still been fixed at the end by the end. So that's I don't like a lot of kind of horror and gore and grim darkness in my Little Pony fanfic.
Okay.
There are other fandoms where I will like it, just not in My Little Pony.
Okay.
The ones that I like, I quite like alternate universe fics where, you know, what if this happened? What if something different occurred? There's one that I've read where what if Luna had actually won the War of the Endless Night and banished Celestia instead? So things like that I quite like. I just quite like kind of adventure stories, you know, things where there's a problem, let's go and fix it. I quite like those. Mm. Things where stuff happens. I like the occasional kind of like just slice of life things, but I also like this to be stuff actually happening.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Alrighty, and alright, so that's our fanfiction spotlight for this week. Now another little, of course we can't really review it because, well, only one of us got a chance to see it, but we can't let this episode pass without at least making mention of the release of the second Equestria Girls movie, Rainbow Rocks. And since Skyblaze, I can't recall if you were there when we did our Equestria Girls episode of Nerd of the Third Power. I want to ask your perspective on the Equestria Girls franchise and where you think they might be going with it.
I didn't expect to like it, and I really did. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was. It really caught me by surprise when it was first announced. And in fact, I think actually, I if you go look on my Facebook, you'll find an image macro I made of the initial announcement. And underneath it was Sean Bean from Game of Thrones going, brace yourselves. Shit's about to hit the fan. Like, it's like, because, like, you know, the main six being turned into humans is just ubiquitous in My Little Pony fiction. It's just all over the place, you know. Some of
oh,
it,
yeah,
you know,
that's,
be...
that is, it's one of the other tropes where I'm like,
there are some good ones. There are some really good ones, and I will show them to you. They are there.
It is one of the things where it's so ubiquitous, it's trying to dig through the crap to actually find ones that are really good.
I found some gems, and I will tell you about them. But not in this episode, because we've already done that for this episode. But, like, I'm looking at this, and I'm just like, this is... Like, I understand that it's a blatant cash grab to sell toys, because this is Hasbro, and that is what they do. But it's like, I didn't think it was possible that they could do it and have at least be passably good, and then Equestria Girls came out, and I was blown away by it.
Yeah, I sat down and watched it for, I was bored, and it was on Netflix. So I just sat down and watched it while I had my dinner. And I was kind of half expecting to kind of finish my dinner and be like, well, that was half an hour of my time wasted and turn it off. And I got really into it. I shouldn't have been surprised considering the general quality of writing for My Little Pony, which is surprisingly high for a kids show. But I really, really was. And it was like, this shouldn't work. And yet it does.
I think the thing that really made me skeptical was the character design, specifically the fact that they kept the skin tones from the main show. I was like, okay, you know, candy colored ponies, that works for ponies, but candy colored humans, I mean, Fluttershy looks like she's got jaundice, Rainbow Dash looks like she's got a body temperature of negative 30, and I'd like to know what happened to Rarity, because she is clearly a ghost.
She
died in a horrible accident, and she is haunting the schools of the high school.
Now, you see, I am a fan of Reboot from back in ye olden days, so I'm used to weird colored humanoids.
So the new Equestria Girls film, Rainbow Rocks, came out last week, and I got a chance to see it in theaters. I won't go too in-depth into it.
Tiny Fist. You know, it's not even out in the UK until November, and even then it's on limited fucking release. Sorry.
I'll see if I can't slip you a copy when my Blu-ray comes in. But I won't go too in-depth to avoid spoiling it for people who haven't seen it. But it's really good. I actually wound up liking the second one more than I did the first one. I like that they followed through on Sunset Shimmer's redemption, and they actually gave her a character arc in this
film.
Oh, they
did. Awesome.
Yeah,
I knew she was in it.
Yeah, no, she's actually I would say she's more of the focus character in this movie than Twilight Sparkle is. Twilight Sparkle's presence in this film is almost It's really almost incidental. It's just kind of like, oh, we've got the other five. Well, we have to have the six to round up the band. But it's really much more Sunset Shimmer's story this time around than Twilight Sparkle's, which I thought was a nice contrast to the first film, and also sort of just reinforces the message, I guess, of the show that, you know, nobody's completely a shit heel. There's good in everybody. Everybody has the opportunity to do better than they did before.
You see what I mean about this show?
So, you know, I'll say this, I won't tell you exactly why, but the way they ended this one, there's definitely going to be a third one.
I can live with that. If the second one is as good as the first one, then I can entirely live with that.
Yeah, but this movie's got a blatant sequel hook at the end of it. They all but came out and said, we're making a third one, and it's going to be about this, and you need to stick around. And I won't say what it is, but when you see it, you will defecate a fortress. Yes.
Now that's one hell of a phrase.
Yeah. On a show about on a podcast talking about candy colored ponies, we're keeping it classy here.
Oh yes, we are raising the tone.
Birdman's not going to let us run this show by ourselves after this anymore. I can just see it. He's going to be like, you people have turned this into a madhouse. I can never trust you with this again.
He didn't know this was coming after being on Nerd to the Third Power.
Yeah, I know. He really brought it on himself. So, but you know, this is what he gets for having equipment that is easily possessed by Satan. So, anyway, but that is all the time that we have for this episode of Last Exit to Ponyville. Thank you for tuning in, and well, Skyblaze, welcome to the show. Hopefully, at some point, we'll be able to get all three of us together as the as Celestia intended.
So, let's hope so.
Yeah. So hopefully, Birdman will be back next time. So, yeah, thank you as always for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. This would ordinarily be where we would say who we are as we signed off, but this isn't Nerd of the Third Power, and I'm kind of, I don't know, it's kind of weird. So we'll just say, stay groovy, have fun, and yeah, see you next time on Last Exit to Ponyville.
Friendship is magic.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek.net's Last Exit to Ponyville. We want you to help make the show at least 20% cooler by your getting involved. Call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202 or email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net, subject line Ponyville. We also have our official Facebook, which is facebook.com/Last Exit to Ponyville. Subscribe to us through iTunes or any podcatcher. Thanks for listening to us and keep it locked to EquestriaDaily.com and ThisWeekInGeek.net. And until next show, remember, friendship is magic.